Hello, dear sister Anna in Croatia. This is Michael. I was so blessed to just read your email, sister. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to take a minute to answer this, sister. I just felt the joy in my heart to answer you. And I have to just tell you, I'm so delighted by your question and your humility. And I find it so humorous that you go out of your way to point out that you're not depending upon me and I am not your guru, etc., etc., but that you're really enjoying my teachings on YouTube for the reasons that you listed. Praise God, sister. I love that. And I thank you that you're paying attention to that. There's nothing wrong with asking a question like this. I want to be really clear that when I speak in those recordings about not trusting in man versus God, and I'm so strong on it, my message is probably perhaps a little out of balance because the need is out of balance. The error in the church is out of balance in this. So there's nothing wrong with asking a man a question or listening to a man's teachings, but the way I see it is man can only create awareness. I can make you or another man, or you can make somebody else aware of something in the Bible, but only the Holy Spirit can actually teach it to you and give you understanding at the heart level. So knowing that, it's almost the answer to your question, what you're talking about prayer, and you've heard a man teach that it is the Holy Spirit who enables prayer, that you cannot pray without the power of the Holy Spirit. He is absolutely 100% right, okay? But I want to show you how there is a small piece of that where you do have to have a part that you play that's apart from the Holy Spirit. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But sticking with this point where I'm talking about men can create awareness, Holy Spirit can create understanding. So when I speak to you in this recording, I'm creating awareness. I'm speaking the truth. But it's not actually me who's doing the teaching. According to 1 John 2:27, you've received an anointing, the Holy Spirit, if he's in you. He will be the one who will teach it to your heart. He's the one that's creating the thirst and the desire. He's the one that's, you know, convicting us of our sin. He's the one who's making us want to drink more and be thirsty for more of what he has to offer us. So yes, invisibly, who could possibly, as a man, begin to explain this? It's all deeply mysterious. I will just share from you what I know based upon the Word of God that matches up with my experience. That doesn't always mean that it'll be your experience, but I'll just share with you what I believe about these questions because you do have yourself a need and you're telling me that you still feel dry no matter what you do and you're struggling. So having said all of what I've just said, to answer your question, without a doubt, I think if you don't look just at prayer, instead of just looking at just prayer or just evangelizing or just learning the Word of God, and instead of looking at one part of Christianity, I think it will help us better understand Father's perspective when we look at the totality of what it means to be a Christ follower. What does it mean to become a spiritual man or woman of God, and how do we do this? And I see ample evidence in Scripture that it's not just the Holy Spirit, and it's certainly not just us. That in fact, it is teamwork between us and the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father, that we get to play an exciting role. Lord hasn't put us in spiritual wheelchairs, and he's not pushing us around in wheelchairs. You see, there is a responsibility for us to work out that which God works in. So the man on YouTube who says it is the Holy Spirit who enables prayer, I have to give a big amen to that, without a doubt. Because in Philippians 2:13, the Bible says it is God, which we would know by his Spirit does this. It is God who works in you. He works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So if prayer is a part of his good purpose, who is it that's willing in you and acting in you to prayer but the Father by his Holy Spirit? But if we look at verse 12, Philippians 2:12, It says for us to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So what I see with that beautiful combination of scripture, along with other ones where Paul tells to Timothy, guard that good deposit which has been entrusted to you, speaking of the Holy Spirit. You might say, wait a second, how is Timothy supposed to guard God in him? You see, this is amazing. God has entrusted us with choice in our Christian life, with responsibility. There is this terribly false teaching that says, when Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. That means so was all of the work. That Jesus did all the work, and it's absolutely not true. I have never worked so hard in my life as I have as a Christ follower. And yet, it is the Lord who empowers me. It is His power that works in me, but I'm walking in and working in cooperation with His power. I'm yielding to it, okay? The secret of the Christian life at its most elementary basis, in my humble opinion, is John chapter 15. I remember when I started reading John 15, Anna, first off, I was amazed by what I read. I just felt like there was so much depth to that, and yet it was so simple, but yet so deep. It was like just incredible. Then when I read Hudson Taylor's book called The Spiritual Secret, and I would recommend it's a good, great little read, but if you just want the summary of it, Hudson Taylor struggles for years in inland China. He's got a huge call on his life to go to China, makes all these sacrifices to go, and he basically is miserable for 5 to 6 years and comes away basically almost dead, has to go back home for a time, and has virtually seen no one come to Christ. I mean, it is a terrible experience. You talk about dry. Hudson Taylor was dry. His work was dry. His mission was dry. His spirit was dry. He comes back. He's sick, and he needs to come back to Europe, to his home, to rest and recuperate. And he discovers through another gentleman who told him that the secret to the Christian life was in John 15 in learning how to abide in Jesus Christ and allow Jesus Christ to do the work. Now, this is incredibly difficult to explain. I'm walking it every day by the grace of Christ, and yet I'm not able to explain to you exactly how this works, and yet it is my reality. It's at some level, it is beyond words. It's not for us to be able to understand fully what it means for a branch to abide in the vine, and the vine and the branch to become one, and to try to deconstruct who's doing what, excuse me, is not very easy. But what we can do is we can approach it as a child, as Jesus tells us. I love, because I'm a simple man, Jesus made it so simple. First of all, he tells us, unless you change and become like a little child, okay, this is a very kindergarten step in the faith. Very, very beginning, you have to become like a child. You're not pretentious. You're not coming with your own ideas and your own agenda and your own beliefs. And you're coming in humility. You recognize that an adult is above you. And in this instance, Father is the adult. And you recognize that He is the boss, you are not. You recognize that you are helpless apart from Him. A child is helpless, right? They need their parents to do everything for them. They are entirely dependent. And they typically have childlike faith. When you tell them, they'll do something. And many times they're obedient. Sometimes they're disobedient, but generally if you say, hey, I need you to go over there and get that for me, if you have a halfway decent kid, they'll do it, and without arguing and all this kind of stuff. At a certain age, they're very excited. Oh, Daddy, how can I help you? What do you want me to do, right? This is how Father wants us to become. So to clean out all the clutter and all the doctrinal confusion and all the crazy stuff you can learn on YouTube, just go back and touch first base, or home plate with God, is to become humble like a child. Everything in the Christ-following life is birthed out of humble dependence upon Father. Okay? So I always like to use this example that I sound awfully bold sometimes in my messages because I speak so strongly against sin, against unbelief, against false teaching. Okay? According to the knowledge that I have and the words that God gives me, I speak rather boldly. And so perhaps some people might think that I'm just this very brash, tall, brazen, domineering person sometime. And I am so totally not, sister. Particularly before my Father, I become like a little boy very many times. Not always. See, I even get that in my throat when I speak about him because I just love him so much. And he's been so good to me, but I became like a little child. I went from becoming the king of my own earthly empire, where I had built this whole life in his name, but apart from his grace, it all came to nothing. God was pleased to tear it all down. And then when I humbled myself before him, I said, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you to teach me how to do this. Please help me. And so in that moment, Anna, I'm becoming like a child. This is my part. God is not doing that. Okay? There is a choice that we have to make. Once God pursues us, we have to pursue him back. And God lets us to choose him. It's our choice whether we deny him. I do not believe in this irresistible grace nonsense that Calvinism preaches. Craziness. That's absolutely craziness. I'm right there with Madame Guillot. I have way too many stories in my life of where I clearly and powerfully resisted God's grace in my life. So we have a choice. God doesn't turn us into spiritual robots. In John 7:17, Jesus says, if anyone chooses. When Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a mother hen gathers her chicks. He says, but you were not willing. You were not willing. Once they became not willing, God went ahead and turned them over to blindness of eyes, deafness of ears, so they could not hear and they could not turn to him and be healed. This was God's goodwill and pleasure for a time. Sticking with the point, it comes down to, do you recognize that you cannot live as a fulfilled Christ follower apart from his help? You already recognize this. So now it comes to, how do I receive the grace and the help and the power from the Holy Spirit that I need in order to live as Christ says I can live here in the New Covenant? And really, there's just a couple of basic principles, but if you wanted me to just completely simplify it, it comes down to you exchanging your life for his. You exchange all of your dreams, all of your desires, all of your hopes, all of your fears, all of your wants, all of your understanding. It is an exchanged life. That's why Paul can say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. It's an exchanged life. He says, the life I live in the body, in this shell, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith in the Son of God means not just to believe that he exists. Paul's not living in faith that Jesus exists. Even the demons are living in that kind of faith, because wherever Jesus showed up, they were the first ones to say, who are you? Here's the most holy one. We know who you are, the Son of the Most High God. They would always point him out. They believed in him. But they were not living in faith, which is in submission to his words. When you go back to John 15, if you say, what is the secret to the Christian life? It's right there. Jesus taught us in John 15. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus says, for us He says, if my words remain in you and you remain in me, you may ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. He then tells them, he says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And then he tells them this amazing thing. He says, remain in my love. He said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. That is the secret to the Christian life. It is intentional obedience to the words of Christ. When you think of a branch being grafted into a vine, and this is just comes from, this is me adding a little something that I learned from Andrew Murray, who does just a beautiful job in his book called, I believe, The True Vine, where he explains a little bit about the vineyard and the keeping of a vine and what it means to have the vine cleaned and dressed and pruned and grafting. And when you try to graft a branch into a vine, which you actually can do, I mean, I never realized this, but like where it talks about in Romans 11, that we have been grafted in to the olive tree, you know, Israel, when we've been grafted in, there is literally a grafting that can take place with grapevines. So for example, if a vine goes bad or what have you, you can move, or if a branch goes bad, you can graft in another branch in that place. And this happens through these tiny little fibers that are able to connect to one another between the branch and the vine. And it would be helpful for me to point out to you that I believe this. I believe this is a great analogy. Our Lord is the one who gave us this. So let me just, if I may, expound on it a little bit as an illustration to help you. If you were to look at with a microscope, a tiny little branch, when they were grafting in this branch into the vine, you know, you are the branch, Jesus is the vine, and so we have to be grafted in, right? Because you and I are Gentiles. We're not part of the natural branches. That would have been the Jews. So we're being grafted in, okay, to use the Lord's words. If you see these tiny little fibers in the branch, it's not just one fiber. I'm sure it's a multitude. We might imagine if we looked with a tiny little microscope, we might see, I don't know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 fibers. And those tiny little fibers are going to actually go in and actually become a part of and connect to other little fibers in the vine. And after that process is complete, then the vine begins to shoot sap into that branch. That's the only way the branch can survive, right? So there has to be the connection. The grafting in has to be successful so that those little tiny fibers make their way into the vine. And then the vine is able, once the connection is made, to send this life-giving, fruit-producing sap into the branch, all right? Now, picture those little tiny fibers as each individual teachings of Jesus Christ. I mean, I think you could almost literally say this is a phenomenal example to think about. I thank God for him helping me to see this even now. And then the sap, as Murray points out, we can see as the Holy Spirit, the life-giving sap that fills our branch, right? So in order to receive this Holy Spirit power you're missing and talking about, you have to first, as a branch, be connected to the vine. That means there has to be all those little fibers that are first grafted in before you can receive. Now, a lot of people want to believe that this happens at the moment of conversion and instantly, and I am here to tell you, no, it does not. Yes, you become born again. And yes, you can receive power, but to receive the fullness beyond what happened at Pentecost. Pentecost is not something that we can make doctrines about, because 2,000 years of Christian history show things work very differently now than they did at Pentecost. Okay, very differently. And that's a whole story for another day. But Pentecost is an initial foundational outpouring. And when you look at the supernatural things that are in the book of Acts, those kind of things do not happen anymore. Who's ever heard of being in a prayer room and it start to shake? Who's ever heard of cloven tongues of fire literally appearing and people speaking in a multitude of different languages that other foreigners can actually hear and understand? Not just gibberish charismatic tongues, but real literal languages that men and women are all interpreting. Who's ever heard of somebody being teleported like Philip with the Ethiopian guy? I mean, just unbelievable, astonishing miracles happen, right? So there's this huge outpouring of the Spirit. That is not typically how it works. When you look at the greats that have lived throughout Christian history, what you see is men and women are testifying to two major encounters with God, all right? If you read the book, Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians, almost every single one of those people who are the greatest that's we've known to live in the kingdom of God, they all testify to these two experiences. One was an experience of conversion, and after that, there were lots of ups and downs, times with peace, times with no peace, times of strength, times of no strength. And there was just a lot of instability, struggles, dryness. Madame Guillot had a period of 7 years where she felt God had completely left the building on her. Very dry. God had a great plan for it. But then there's this second encounter. And best I can remember, it usually happens for these men and women anywhere between 4 and 20 years. Somebody like Frances Havergal, it took that poor woman 20 years to find fullness in Christ after she came in full surrender to God. It took somebody like A.B. Earle 4 years after he fully consecrated his life, wrote out a whole statement to the Lord that I give you this, I give you that, you can have my kids, my family, everything. He thought it would come immediately. It didn't. It was 4 years later. Someone like me, October 30th, 2009, I'm on my knees. I collapse in full childlike surrender. I not only surrender my will, I abandon it. God, I don't want my will anymore at all. I don't want you to do my will. I want only yours. 6 years later, before I would reach a level of fullness that I would describe that has not left, where I no longer experience these ups and downs, insecurities in my relationship with God. Oh, I still experience suffering. Sister, I'm going through something. I praise God the ability to even kind of laugh and be lighthearted with you. I'm going through some terrible suffering right now and have been really for a mixture of a good couple of weeks ever since I put out a series on the YouTube channel called Spiritual Warfare. The devil has been pleased to come after me like crazy, and the Lord has been pleased to allow it, and it's all going to be for my good and my strengthening. So I still suffer, but I don't have those ups and downs in my heart. I still can feel the weight and the pain of the suffering, but now I'm suffering for good. And Father still gives me His grace, and I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ, which is for good, rather than the things I've suffered in the past for, which have been largely due to my disobedience. Okay? So, getting back to this, it took me 6 years. What happened for me in between those was I was learning to obey the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when I look back, I could make the strong case that you could almost say that each one of the teachings of Christ is like a fiber in your branch that's connecting to the vine. So for example, when you become poor in spirit and you begin to tell Father, you cannot do this on your own, it's the opposite of spiritual pride, that's a fiber. When you become merciful and you extend mercy to somebody that doesn't deserve it, I could say that's another fiber. When you become a mourner and you mourn over your sin and the condition of, you know, this earth as a result of sin, and you mourn over what you've seen lost in your life, there's another fiber. When you become a peacemaker, when you become persecuted, when you become pure in heart, when you say no to a lusts and you turn away from looking at the opposite sex the way many of us do, you're putting another fiber into the branch. I really believe God is helping me to make this illustration because it is seemingly so true. The more of the, my own testimony was that the more I obeyed the teachings of Christ, the more of Him I found. So I remember Zach Poonen one time said that he wanted to be able to obey all of the teachings of Jesus Christ before he died. And he speaks of, you know, those who persecute you, those who do evil, excuse me, those who insult you and, you know, those who hate you. And he says, well, how can I obey those teachings unless I had somebody who hated me, unless I had somebody who persecuted me? I want to be able to obey that, so I need those. When you do that and you obey, that's another little fiber into the vine. And so Jesus himself said this in John 14, 21 through 23. He said, whoever has my commands, that means all of them, whoever has my commands and obeys them, not whoever picks two or three of their favorite, whoever has my commands, I mean, I think we have to assume Jesus means all of them. He wouldn't have given a command that's not important. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself. Why? Now we've connected completely to the vine. Jesus is now pleased and sees that we've done our part. Now watch, he helps us. He's the one that actually does the grafting. But the sticking in of our fiber into the fiber of the vine is happening through our willful obedience. You see, when I choose to forgive my brother, there's a fiber. When I choose not to take oaths and say yes and no, there's my fiber. When I choose not to divorce my wife, there's my fiber. When I choose to be any of these things Jesus talks about, serving him rather than money, storing up treasures in heaven rather than on earth, taking up my cross, denying myself. You see, if you obeyed all of the teachings of Christ, but you didn't take up your cross, deny yourself when he asked you to, that's not a fiber. That's a huge fiber that's connecting. So it's really about full submission, and full submission is to obey. The Christian life is about obedience to Christ, and you do this because of your love for him. If you're struggling with obedience, you have a problem with love. You don't consciously realize how much Father has done for you and forgiven you for. Because when you know how much of the fire that he has saved you from, you desire to obey him in gratitude. Her many sins were forgiven because she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. So to me, I hope this answers your question, that what I have found is the more I've obeyed the teachings of Christ, the more I have found of Christ, the more of his presence. And I remain weak, he remains strong. If I try to do things in my own strength, I can tell you there's many good ideas I've had that I've wanted to do, and God has told me no. I could have done them in my own strength. They seemed like good God ideas. Lord told me no. So I'm constantly learning to submit, not even just to don't do all the evil stuff, but what is Father's plan for my life? Now, right now you're starting to go, oh my gosh, Michael, this is a lot, right? I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. Okay, I've just explained to you 7 years of my Christianity in 28 minutes. So don't get frustrated. It takes time. And cry out to the Lord to give you insight. I hope he perhaps has. But if you have not taken the John 7:17 challenge, please do so. Find out what are the missing fibers that have you not yet connected fully to the vine. You might read through the teachings of Christ and go, oh my goodness. I find myself all the time when I go to a family gathering, I'm honoring myself. I'm the one that's taking the front seat and doing this. I'm just giving an example. I have no idea, but the Lord does. And his word is like a hammer that breaks up rock. And he will break up whatever rock is in between you and him. If you just go to that word, let the word cut you, rip you, slice you up like the double-edged sword that it is, and obey it. And when I, here's the thing, when God sees you beginning to extend your little fiber over to his vine, God grabs that vine and pulls it in. I'm telling you, he does. He does the most important and the most difficult work. And then what happens is the more of these fibers you have over there, the more of the power of this sap, the life-giving Holy Spirit that is flowing into you through the vine. I mean, even though I've just made this illustration up with these fibers, does this not completely resonate in your spirit? When you think about the teachings of Christ, each one of them being a little fiber to connect us to him. Is that not exactly what he teaches? You know, so we can't cherry pick and say, hey, well, I'm obeying the top 10. That's not it. And man, I'm going to have fullness. No, it's not going to happen. It's really not going to happen. You might have a little bit of fruit. Remember, there's different levels of fruit production. I am inclined to believe sometimes that's regarding how much a person fully surrendered and how much a person got fully committed to Jesus Christ. I want more of him. I want more fibers. I want to make sure the fibers that are in him stay in him. Remember, Jesus said, now remain in me. So I want to remain in him and I want to obey more. And with God's help, I'm learning to do it. I'm learning to deny myself more and more, and to God is blessing my heart, sister. He's blessing my heart. Even when I suffer, he blesses me and helps me and speaks to me, and I know all the suffering is for my own good. So regarding that prayer, ask the Lord to give you the gift of prayer and the spirit of prayer. But at the same time, if you're trying and trying and trying, but yet you're outside of some clear teaching to Christ, for example, if you're going to the Lord and praying, Lord, show me your will, but he looks at your heart and says, you don't want to know my will yet. You're still wanting me to do your will secretly. See, you got to have an honest heart with God. Man, I could just go on and on. There's just so much to the teachings of Christ. You see? So go take that challenge and help the Lord. Let the Lord help you to see where you might be outside. If you're dry, those fibers are not connected. You're not getting the life-giving sap. So ask the Lord to help you. What am I missing? What is the obstacle? What have I not done to connect? And sister, I'll just tell you, today, day and age, most Christians don't have more than maybe one or two fibers, and the first fiber is they actually believe Jesus exists. Whoopee. I mean, that's the truth. Most Christians today have very few fibers connected. Their life is coming from man-made religion and man-made Christianity and programs, and they're living from sermon to sermon, from Sunday to Sunday, from Christian music station to Christian music station, from coffee shop talk to coffee shop talk, from best-selling book to best-selling book. They have artificial sap. It is man-made synthetic. It is not the real power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for helping me to see that. But that's the truth. That's what most Christians have is a synthetic version of the Holy Spirit. They have counterfeit gifts. They have counterfeit joy. They have counterfeit peace. They have counterfeit supernatural. They have counterfeit virtually everything. And the devil is pleased to let them think that this pizza party they're having is the real deal. And Jesus in heaven, oh my goodness. I can't even imagine what it looks like for him to see so many of us down here calling ourselves by his name and yet not attached to him at all. Creatures of mere instinct who do not have the Holy Spirit. Sister, may God bless you. Don't allow the devil to overcomplicate it, okay? I'm telling you, I know the Christian life seems mysterious, but I will go to my deathbed with God's help telling people the secret is in the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's not in some book by a man, although there's many great books that have been written. It is in the teachings of Christ. Go to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Humble yourself before them. Remember, Paul taught, if anyone runs ahead of the teachings of Christ and does not continue in them, they do not have God or Jesus. So that is so important. that we remember to remain in him through his word. So, sister, may God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for the great email and the great questions. God bless you. Bye-bye.